A Bangladeshi diplomat and former Undersecretary General to the United Nations, and also this morning, David Wick, one of the co-founders of the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
It is great to have you here. I wanted to start off with the ambassador and tell us a little bit how you became involved in peace work and made this a focus in your life.
Well, firstly, let me also express my pleasure in joining you at the JPR. I became ambassador of Bangladesh to the United Nations in 1996. At that time, we were very enthusiastic about the Cold War coming to an end. We were hoping that we should get a peace dividend out of the ending of the Cold War. And we were wondering that United Nations was set up in 1945. It was set up after the Second World War. And what can be done to energize this expectation of people of the world to get a peace dividend, ending military expenditure, transferring all those additional money to the good of the people in economic and social development, and focusing on the developing poorer countries of the world. And then at that time, towards the end of the last millennium, we were wondering what could be done. And then I found that in the United Nations system, UNESCO as an organization has been talking about their mandate in their constitution, which said if wars begin in the minds of men, the seeds of peace should be also sowed in the minds of men. So that is what encouraged the conception of the culture of peace. And that is what I felt that is necessary to be given a broader umbrella of acceptance by the United Nations and its 193 member states.
A reminder, you can join our conversation this morning by calling 800-838-3760, or you can send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. With the years of experience that you've worked on peace and looked at the world as a diplomat with the United Nations, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the state of the world today? I know here in the United States, it's so divisive right now politically, and it seems like it's that way in other parts of the world. The issues, for example, over Brexit and other places. How do you feel about peace in the world today?
In general, about everything in life and, of course, our work at the United Nations, I believe that it is a mix. It is never gives you a moment to become optimistic or pessimistic. It's a continuing work. That UN came into existence 74 years ago, but we are still struggling with the situation of peace in the world. Peace is the main center of activity of the United Nations. So the challenges to peace keep on mutating. What you had a problem 20 years ago is no more there, but there are newer problems. Mm. So this is like life. We have to continue working at it, trying to make the best efforts and see where you go. And there, I believe the culture of peace comes in a very strong way. It emphasizes the individual transformation. We need to tell ourselves that unless I am a believer in peace and nonviolence, how can I ask other people to be peaceful? How can I expect the world to be peaceful? So that is the process we are in. And when the concept was adopted by the United Nations General Assembly 20 years ago, it was exactly last Friday before last, 13th of September 1999, I stood up at the podium of the General Assembly and presented the outcome of 9-month-long negotiations to get a document, a program of action approved by the General Assembly.
We often think of war as existing, maybe it's most of the media coverage of war with major nations. But the impact that war has on poor nations, on marginalized people, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. Firstly, I would like to say that end of war is not peace. Peace has to be much more than that, where we put an end to injustice, prejudice, discrimination, put an end to hunger and poverty. So that makes peace real. The war is between countries or between fighting groups, but common people suffer in any case. So as you say, that this is a reality, and I say sometimes media focuses too much on war between states or war between groups of people, like these days, what we call them, non-state actors, like terrorists,
right.
Terrorism. So these things will continue, but we have to create an interest in having a peaceful community, peaceful atmosphere, so that we can structure our life. Peace is good for us. That is very important, and that's why I think we are focusing more and more, and that is what brings me to Ashland. Ashland Culture of Peace Commission is focusing on Ashland community. How people here, people of all professions, can come together and work for the good of the community.
David Wick, let me ask you a little bit about tomorrow's activities and the ambassador being here to speak. First of all, how did you two come to know each other or make this happen?
If I may say, David has been an activist in the global movement for the culture of peace for a long time. And we know each other, we communicate with each other, we have a bigger circle of friends who are believers in the culture of peace. So we are very encouraged that as an activist, he has given his activism a physical shape in the form of the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission. So we are very proud of that. This is, I think, the first Culture of Peace Commission in the world.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, very definitely, I've known Ambassador Chaudhry just, delightfully for many years. I actually began in this arena in 1980 in the San Francisco Bay Area with the organization, NGO at the UN Pathways to Peace. And from there, having the ideas of, the languaging around peace building. Languaging around culture of peace. And this is very early days when there's new thinking. And had the delight of engaging with Ambassador Chaudhry over the years, and he was a founder of the global movement of the culture of peace. And so it's an entity of a consortium of different NGOs at the UN and representing civil society. So with a lot of ideas around the culture of peace, and it's coming here to Ashland, and my coming here to be with Irene Kai, who is also then the co-founder of the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission. And so what we did, been very involved with the September 21st of every year since 1981, is the International Day of Peace, and very involved with that. And getting together, this is in the essentially 2013 with some other colleagues and saying, what does it look like if we have a focus on peace building on an ongoing daily basis? And that was a foundation where we started to build upon creating the Ashland Culture Peace Commission, which we launched in 2015, September 21st. So this is our fourth anniversary coming up with this conference. And how this came about is just delightful that Irene Kai and I were invited to go to the United Nations just last March to talk about what we're doing here in Ashland, manifesting the culture of peace, because it really is engaging all parts of the community, all people. Everyone has a role and responsibility in the culture of peace, but we've really been engaging, you know, everyone from the school district to the, you know, police department to city council to working with the winter shelters, the homeless shelters, to many different parts of there, which is, you know, exemplified in who's going to be coming to the conference. But really, how do we make this practical? So this is really about the practical application of the culture of peace. So when we were at the United Nations, we had a private meeting with Ambassador Chaudhry and telling him about the culture of peace work, as well as the World Peace Flame. The World Peace Flame that we have here in Ashland, which is 1 year this Saturday, mm-hmm. It's a year old from the lighting ceremony of that, which is on Walker Street across from the middle school. And we told Ambassador Chaudhry about that, and that we have the middle school students are flame keepers who take care of the peace flame on uh-huh. every week, ongoing basis. So we're telling him about all this, and he looks at us straight in the eye and says, "When can I come to Ashland? I want to come and see this personally." So he said, "Great." And so we built the conference around him, which is, again, on the International Day of Peace. So this is a very significant day in that way. But it really is bringing Ambassador Chaudhry, this is a big deal, having him here on the 20th anniversary and the International Day of Peace, as opposed to him being at the UN in New York. You know, it's right, quite significant. And we have a couple other noted people coming in here as speakers. One is Dr. David Yang. He's the vice president of the United States Institute of Peace, who Senator Merkley is very interested in what's happening here. Essentially, Senator Merkley invited him to be here. And another who's come from Canada is Dr. Saul Arbess. He's the director of the Canadian Peace Initiative. He is here also. And then, and if you want to take a look, if you go to Ashland Global, our website, ashlandglobalpeaceconference.com, you can see the program, you can see the people who are involved, and the many different members of from state, city, community. These are leaders coming together to talk with each other about their personal commitment to peace building, and how that shows up in their work. And this is also going to be a tremendous learning experience for all of us. So we start hearing each other and talking about the experiences and talking about, you know, practices. Then this is going to be a growth experience for everybody and for the community. So people are invited to come. At this point, the ticketing, people just need to show up tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to, you know, get a ticket. Mm-hmm. Prior to this has been online. But this is a big deal for Ashland because people have stepped up to co-create the culture of peace. And part of it is like, what is this? What does it look like? Because we're in new territory here, but we're co-creating it as we go.
I wanted to ask, this question could be for both of you, primarily, though, for the ambassador. As different things have been implemented, you talked about experiences and sharing those with one another tomorrow. As you've gone around the world or locally in Ashland, have you seen certain things that have worked really well so far in terms of bringing about peace? Of course, being kind to your neighbor is a small thing, but that's probably on everybody's list, right?
Yes.
But other things that you perhaps have seen that have worked really well?
I would particularly highlight, this is my experience, as you said, going around the world, but particularly in West Africa, which 20 years ago was deeply embroiled in conflict among themselves. I have found that engagement and full participation of women creates one of the biggest differences. Mm. I think we have to engage that work for peace, work for security, and global collaboration will go nowhere unless we engage the 50% of humanity.
And are we doing a better job of that? Are women
well, being yes engaged? And no. But I think in terms of their engagement globally and particularly in the conflict, post-conflict countries, they are doing on their own. They don't wait for anybody. I have seen myself how women make a big difference. Secondly, I believe at the same time there are backlashes about their engaged participation. I think men feel very doubtful about their preeminence when they see women coming up. A country like Rwanda, which had the biggest genocide in the world, 64% of their parliament members are women. And Rwanda is coming up like anything.
Wow.
And even the highest percentage so far had been from the Nordic countries. But Rwanda is ahead of them. So this shows that women can lead, women can bring people together, women think about the greater good of the community. They think about their children and grandchildren. Men generally engage in power sharing. What will be my benefit or my party's benefit? So that comes in. So that is why I say often that when women join politics, they want to do something. But when men join politics, they want to be something.
Hmm. Are we seeing improved access in some of these countries like Rwanda for women to receive formal education?
Well, education is, of course, a culture of peace program of action has 8 areas of action. Education is number one, followed by economic and social development and human rights, and also equality between women and men. So these are the 4 primary objectives of the culture of peace. And I believe education is very important. But we somehow believe that getting a degree is education. No, how that education empowers you, enlightens you to become of service to humanity. You do not live just for yourself to get a good money out of your education and then live a life which is disconnected with the rest of the world. Where is your empathy and compassion as a human being, as a part of a global community? And that education is very important. That is what I believe that we are working on it to bring it into the attention of people.
We have just about a minute left, and I wanted to ask about this situation for children in the world. It's always heartbreaking to see the effects of war and other types of violence and deprivation. How are children doing these days?
Well, 2 years ago in 2017, we have since 2012 a high-level forum on the culture of peace convened by the President of the General Assembly of the United Nations. We focused on early childhood development, that we said sowing the seeds of the culture of peace is possible when we start early with the children. Because as neuroscientists keep on saying that children's minds start taking shape by the year they are 4 or 5, how they are going to be grow up as adults. So that is when this intervention is necessary. Their family, their parents, a bigger family, then community, then, of course, the school system. They have to be told that please grow up respecting others, don't be discriminatory, treat men and women as same or boys and girls as equal. So these are the things if you grow up with, it will stay on with you. And early childhood development, that's why, is absolutely essential.
Gentlemen, Ambassador Chowdhury and David Wick, thank you for being here with us. A reminder again, tomorrow, the Ashland Global Peace Conference. This begins at 8:30, and this is at the Ashland Hotel. Is that correct?
Ashland Hills Hotel.
Ashland Hills Hotel. Okay, once again, thank you for being here this morning, gentlemen.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.